The Federal Treasurer has announced the first major review of the Reserve Bank in decades. Jim Chalmers says it's about making sure the central bank is as well set up as it can be.
No central bank has got everything absolutely bang on. No government has got everything absolutely bang on. But we want to make sure that the institutional arrangements are right. And we also want to play our part in this difficult economic environment. And that means recognising that there's an important job for monetary policy, for interest rates, but there's also a job for government.
Phil Currie is the Chief Political Correspondent for the Australian Financial Review. Good morning, Phil. What does the government want to achieve here?
Well, pretty much what Jim Chalmers just said in the intro. I mean, he's been flagging this review. You know, there was a promise they made before the election if they got elected, and I think it's been made more pertinent by the recent events, you know, with the interest rate increases, the bank being so wrong on that in terms of when rates would rise again and getting their... Yeah, they've come under a lot of criticism with their inflation targets. So that's the sort of top end of it, but it's sort of more substantial than that. It goes to the makeup of the board. Do you need more economists on the board, fewer business people? You know, the unions want to get a trade union representative back on the board, you know, a greater breadth of experience, or you know, the way the bank does its monetary policy and the way that interacts with, you know, fiscal policy. You know, we've seen in, you know, recent news, Patricia, interest rates when they're at record lows, the bank being constrained in as to what it could do to stimulate things. So all those sorts of things are being thrown into the pot, and see what comes out the other side. But the ultimate aim is for a better functioning, more responsive bank.
The government is also planning how to fast-track 60,000 permanent visa applications, and we'll be speaking, as you did, to Claire O'Neill, who's the Home Affairs Minister, after the news at 8. I want people to tune in for that because it's going to be actually her first broadcast interview. But you spoke to her about these visa applications. Tell me about what she wants to do.
So, as we all know, there's a massive backlog because of the last 2 years of COVID, and the international borders only really opened on December 21 to foreign visa workers. So the government's got this massive backlog, and a consequence of that is we have a massive skills crisis. This has been documented over the last few weeks and months, and everyone's screaming out for workers at every level. So the government's they're going to do two things, Patricia. In the short term, they're going to reprioritise the types of visas that are being processed. So there's about 900,000 visas or something that offshore applications, onshore applications, everything from family reunion to, you know, students and workers. And amongst all that, there's about 60,000 people offshore who have skills who want permanent visas in Australia. So the departmental resources are going to be sort of reprioritised towards those. They'll be the immediate priority, and with the sort of top end being teachers, aged care workers and health workers. Remember, Labor, for example, has promised a nurse in every nursing home within a year, and they've got to find them from somewhere. So that's the immediate sort of change, is to reprioritise the current, you know, the processing of the current backlog to get in, put to the front of the queue those we need really fast in critical areas. But there's a sort of broader agenda, and that's to probably boost the migration program, at least in the short term, and to change its composition. So if you remember, Scott Morrison introduced a cap of about 160,000 overall on our migration program. Now, that went into the negative territory during COVID, and we're not back to 160,000 yet. But a lot of business groups are saying we need to turn that up to 200,000 to 220,000 at least for 2 years to make up for the shortfall of immigrants, especially skilled migrants, during COVID, and then sort of settled back at around 160. There's pushback from the unions, you know, about bringing in foreign workers to fill Australian jobs. So Ms O'Neill will speak to you about this, I'm sure, about needing to balance those two concerns. But she's... You know, but there will land somewhere in the middle, and this is all going to be thrashed out at that job summit that Anthony Albanese wants to have in early September. So we can expect, probably on the back of that job summit, some change, not just to the number in the migration program, but the types of the composition of who comes in.
Now let's just finally extend our chat a bit, just to talk about something that's going to be, I know, a huge issue over the rest of winter, and there's still quite a bit of winter to go, and both your state or your territory and where I live in Melbourne has dealt with some pretty cold morning this morning. Continues. You heard from the Chief Medical Officer, Professor Paul Kelly, on RM Breakfast, because there's this third wave coming, and actually hospitalisation is going to be the highest ever in this whole pandemic. Talk to me about the strategy here. There's been already a backflip on the pandemic payments. The government really has been dealt a blow with having to deal ongoing with COVID. What is their thinking? They want to normalise kind of settings, according to Anthony Albanese, but equally they're being hit by the pandemic that just doesn't seem to want to go away.
Yeah, it's a good example, isn't it? Here you just get caught out by this thing, and you know perhaps some of the criticisms made by the previous government now sheds a new light on just how how difficult it is to sort of cope with COVID. Just when you think you've got it back under control, and you tell people everything's all right again, it comes back and mugs you. Yeah, this is sort of reminiscent of what happened over the summer with Omicron. I think Patricia's Paul Kelly said, when we were talking about mask mandates. Contentious. I just think people are just so sick of the fell hand of government in their lives, and the spectre of this sort of re-emerging and we're suddenly being told what to do and what we can and can't do again when everyone sort of thought we were through that. I understand the government is very conscious of that, as are the states. You even sort of see a lot of resistance from Dan Andrews, who was never shy about bringing in measures originally, but he appears very reluctant these days to sort of embrace these measures because people have sort of had enough. So, but governments, at the same time, you've got the health, the health imperative, which can't be negotiated away. So, we find ourselves once more, not talking about mandating masks, but strongly recommending them. It sort of brings in like a shadow mandate, if you like. If you go into Coles without a mask, you might get shamed because everyone else is wearing one. So, look, this is, as Paul Kelly said, it's going to be up primarily for state governments because they're the ones who make these rules. But, we've seen in recent months states starting to sort of reduce some of those health powers they gave themselves during the height of the pandemic and, to the great relief of all of us. But are they going to have to invoke them again? So, and the economic impact can't be understated. If everyone gets told to stay home and work from home again, we've just started to see life come back into the CBDs. There's a lot of businesses suffer when people work from home, the coffee shops and the dry cleaners and stuff like that. Is that all going to go backwards again? Is that going to put pressure on the federal budget to shell out even more money on top of what they did last week? All these things come back into play. So, I don't think there's any prospect of a lockdown or anything like that, but it sort of gives you goosebumps when you start hearing this stuff again when you sort of thought we were through it.
Yeah, and spare a thought for hospital workers, I've got to think.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How exhausting. I do despair when I think about the sort of volumes of people they're about to deal with. Phil Currie, thank you for your time this morning.
Terrific, Patricia. Bye-bye.
Bye. Phil Currie, Chief Political Correspondent for the Australian Financial Review.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.